Okay, this is Will Mari. I am talking today to Benny Palaka from the Osage News. It is September 24th, 2020, and we are talking as part of the Community Journalism and Middle America Challenges and Innovations of COVID-19 Coverage Oral History Project. Benny, thanks for being here today.
Yes, I'm happy to be here, Will.
Could you please pronounce your name on tape, just so we have that for the record?
First name Benny, B-E-N-N-Y, Polacca, P-O-L-A-C-C-A.
Awesome. And how long have you worked at your current publication? And in general, how long have you been in journalism?
Okay. I have been in journalism for the most part full-time since 2007. I started out at a mid-city daily newspaper, and I started working for the Osage News in 2009, and I have been here ever since. So that will be 11 years now.
Awesome. And what is your current title?
I am a senior reporter at Osage News.
Excellent. And what is your paper's circulation? And maybe tell me a bit more about your audience and about the paper in general.
Okay. We are a tribal newspaper that serves the Osage Nation of in northeastern Oklahoma. We have a hard copy of the newspaper that goes out monthly, and our circulation is roughly about 1,200. It is available on a subscription-only basis, where the tribal members contact us and request to be on the subscription list. And we also have paid subscribers, too, from people who are non-Osage tribal members or who are also business owners and would like to carry the newspaper at their places of business. So we do offer that as well. And so, again, we go out to roughly 1,200 households, and we have a website, osagenews.org, and that is a daily news website, which we update daily with news stories or briefs.
Very cool. And how many folks work in your newsroom right now?
Okay. We are staffed with three people. There is myself. We have a front desk or front office editorial assistant who is also a trained photographer, so he also does much of our photo assignments, and the editor is also on full-time, and so we all share the same general duties. You know, if people are gone, if we have to answer the phone for any general questions, we do that, handle any address changes or what have you. So we're all cross-trained there, since we are a small office entity.
That's great. I mean, you have to do that because you need everyone to be on board at all times.
Yes.
When did the impact of COVID start on your paper and maybe on the Osage Nation, kind of more generally speaking?
About the first week of March, when the local news reports started coming out that COVID-19 was reported in Oklahoma, and within about 2 weeks, the numbers started increasing, and then all of a sudden the call started going out to every entity, whether it's the state government, county government, city government. About what are you going to do with the COVID-19 now hitting? And it was about the middle of March when the principal chief, Jeffrey Standing Bear, issued a public health state of emergency, and as a result, many of the tribes, dozens of offices closed, and minimal staff was allowed to continue working, but a majority of people were sent home to either work or just simply, you know, stay home because they were considered not to be needed at that point. And so there was a reduction in office people as a result of that, and that also impacted us as well, because two of the staff members also have children at home, and so they also had to go home and be there because of their, you know, their children not being able to be in class at that point until the school system reacted with virtual learning.
I guess that brings me to my first kind of question regarding routine. How did your colleagues then adjust those routines during the pandemic? What was their reaction?
Yeah, it was very surreal personally for all of us. This is something that we've never experienced, especially considering it involved a pandemic, and so this was the longest time where our operations were severely impacted. Once the public health state of emergency was declared, it wasn't until May when the executive branch announced that the restrictions on offices would be lifted and people could start coming back to work. And so basically the Osage Nation followed the calls that were happening at the state level at the time, because in mid-March many businesses in the state were ordered to close. And then by that I mean, you know, restaurants, bars, gyms, movie theaters, places where people gather. And so those same calls were also extended in the Osage Nation, basically limiting the number of people in offices. And so we also followed the same thing too. And so for myself, I really didn't experience too much of a difference. I still came into the office to work, because even though all of this was going on, the news business was still ongoing, and we still had to report and do what we can to put out the newspaper. And so we worked remotely and social distantly, basically.
So what other things did you guys do to be safe as a staff during the pandemic?
So we learned to embrace the telework more so than before, especially considering our the Osage Legislative body, which is called the Osage Nation Congress. They have their usual their annual spring session in March and into April, and so with them having to meet, they also went virtual, and that is something that has never happened before. And so we all also tuned in on that as well. And other boards and commission entities also did the same thing too. So they were now using Zoom. They were using the teleconference call method, or they were using GoToMeeting for their virtual meetings as well. And so that was also something we definitely had to get on board with using, because we still had the obligation to cover all these entities where that are making decisions related to COVID or related to other business at hand.
So how did that impact your number of hours you worked each day? Was it a longer day? What was that like for you to have those extra responsibilities?
During the regular Osage Congress sessions, it's usually expected our work days will probably increase about an hour or two, and on deadline days when we're getting the monthly newspaper ready for print, it's not uncommon for us to work a couple of hours later in the night. So I would say there wasn't too much difference there. We just have to mentally prepare for this course of action to take place, because we need to be available and be ready to concentrate on on these public meetings and what the elected and appointed officials are doing, because it's still news of importance to the readers despite all of this pandemic, all of the pandemic business that's going on around us.
Now, what is a typical day like for you currently as a journalist? Has it changed a lot, or is it back to normal, or kind of where are you right now with your typical day?
It's gone back to similar hours as before. You know, I come in, I check my emails, go through several different news releases, much of which, you know, have nothing to do with what we cover here in terms of the tribal government and anything related. And then we check in with each other, with the editor, with the assistant, and see what we have going on for the day. And then we just go from there, and I check the calendars online to see what type of meetings are taking place that day. Because the Osage Congress meets twice a year regularly, and then any time between there, they also have special sessions, which can be called at any time to take up anything of importance that comes up at the last minute. So that's not uncommon to cover. And then they also have committee meetings in the interim too to study any subjects that are needing attention at that time. So, those never really went away. And then, of course, you know, there's also the phone calls and the emails that come in with little news tips. And so we also monitor those as well, just like any other newspaper.
That brings me to the next question about news strategy and kind of how you get your news. Has that changed at all? And if so, how? Or if not, why not during the pandemic?
Well, I would say we tend to have more message traffic from social media, because that is where we also maintain a big presence in telling the readers what types of news stories we have out there. And especially with encouraging people to, you know, to contact us to update their mailing address, to maintain their subscription with the Osage News. A lot of people are on social media, and so all they have to do is just click the little message button and contact us and tell us, hey, you know, I need to change my address, or my son or daughter has just received some type of school accolade, and I wanted to have it in the newspaper. And so we still get messages like that. And the frequency started going up during the pandemic, considering you know, a lot of people are now virtual, and or actually they are keeping distance, considering you know, the contagion, the contagious nature of COVID-19. And so now everybody is distant, and so it's not, and so I would say the frequency in email and social media messages has gone up, and people reaching out to us, because everybody wants to stay safe in this time.
That makes sense that would go up. And it kind of leads to the next question I have about the biggest stories you've covered. Are there any stories you're particularly proud of that you heard about through that method or another source, or things you were particularly, I guess, happy that you did as a journalist during this time?
Well, I would say I am definitely proud of the coverage that I worked on during the election, because also in the middle of all this, there was the 2020 general election, which took place in June, and that is something that is constitutionally mandated through the Osage Nation Constitution. The tribe voted on a new constitution in 2006, and they now operate under a three-branch form of government, and with the chief being the head of the executive branch, and the Osage Nation Congress being over the legislative branch. And so there was, in the Constitution, it is mandated every even year that there be an election for at least six of the legislative seats. And so in 2020, six legislative seats were up for election, and it's written in the Constitution that it can't be delayed or anything. And so that question came up, whether or not it could be delayed or not. And the tribe's attorney general said because of the way the language is written, it can't be delayed. And so that put the election board on the spot to do what they could to plan out the 2020 election and to reach out to various entities to make it happen. And so an extremely social distance friendly election atmosphere was developed by the election board, and they also vamped up encouragement and of the voters to send in requests for absentee ballots. And so as a result of that, the number of absentee ballots was at an all-time high this year. And so we reported on all the election updates, making sure the people were well informed of what they need to do because the election is still ongoing, and everyone else is reading the news up to this point about what's going on in the world or what's going on here in Oklahoma with regard to the pandemic. So all around it was still busy, even though we're a publication that focuses only on tribal government, but there was never a lull during this time.
Sounds
so like I'm proud of the coverage we were able to do to keep the voters informed on what's happening, what's being done, and what to be aware of on election day in terms of making sure, in terms of reporting that the election board planned a safe environment for everyone to vote in, and telling the voters, when you go, masks are required, and even gloves were required. And so we did our best to inform the people what do they need to know in order to vote, because it's still coming.
It sounds like it almost got busier for you guys with the election and with all the other parts of the pandemic coming together. If anything, it was maybe a busier news cycle than it has been before,
So, yeah. Yes, it was. And and that is why I'm glad, we had at least a two-person operation with myself and the editor doing the reporting. We also have a freelancer based in Tulsa who also works remotely as well. And so we all do our best to share in the report, the reporting duties. And of course the editor handles the administrative side as well. And so that is the operation, we had in terms of providing the news to the Osage public.
How have your financials been impacted by the pandemic? If they have, it might be a bit different depending on kind of how you guys pay for stuff and how you get your funding, but has there been an impact on your ability to operate in the middle of all this, financially speaking?
In the middle of all this, overall we were not drastically impacted. However, the Osage News is a tribally funded a newspaper, and so we follow the tribe's fiscal year, which is October 1st of each year, all the way until September 30th. And so, during the month of September of each year, the tribal Congress meets to consider the annual budget for the upcoming fiscal year. And so, the 2020 fiscal year came and went, and we thought everything would be fine. And then all of a sudden, the pandemic hit, and then next thing you know, an atmosphere of uncertainty just went over the tribal government pretty much, because the tribe gets pretty much 95% of its tribal funding from its casino operations. There is the Osage casinos. There are seven of them in Osage County, with the largest being on the outskirts of Tulsa. Mm. And so they bring in much of the revenue, and that's what funds many of the government operations, including the newspaper.
Hmm.
In March, when the pandemic had reached Oklahoma, the casino management made the decision to close the casino because to do its part in stopping the spread of COVID-19. And so that happened, and the casino, all seven casinos, remained closed all the way through mid-May. And then in mid-May, the Osage casinos was the first of the Tulsa area casino entities to reopen. And so they did that and have been reopened since then. And as a result of that closure, the income levels for the casino and also for the tribal government were impacted, and as a result, the executive branch made the decision to cut the budgets of almost all the entities during the months of April and May because there's no revenue coming in, and so that put them in a difficult decision situation to reprioritize. The money that the tribe has for the government operations. And on top of this, the Osage Congress was meeting in their regular spring session, and they also had the difficult decision to make a decision whether or not to dip into their rainy day fund to take money out in order to continue the government operations, and that is what they did. And that is also something else we covered during the pandemic, and so that all that took place during the virtual session, and we were there following it and reporting it at the same time.
Wow.
So there was a lot of history making moves going on at this point, and so we covered them and made sure the people knew this was all happening at this time.
It's a lot, and probably a lot of stress too with the budget cycle not being certain in any way. In terms of the paper, do you guys foresee having to do any layoffs or furloughs or any kind of production changes to help cut expenses or to save money, or is that not going to happen?
At this time, I haven't heard of any reductions in force happening after all of that happened. During that time, the executive branch did their cuts to the budget. They did make the decision to lay off approximately 50 positions, and about 45 of them were filled at the time. And so those decisions were made, and the remaining empty positions were just written out. And so that did occur. The newspaper was not included in those, and so we were not impacted at that time, but other various departments and programs, like for example the language department, the tribal works, which is basically the maintenance side, and other entities were impacted. And that was reported by our editor. Our editor, she followed up with her contacts in the executive branch, and they were able to share with her what was taking place at that time. And so there was a lot of moving parts government-wise at this time. And also in the middle of all this, the executive branch did apply for and did receive CARES Act money, several millions of dollars. And so the newspaper is following up with the various ways in which the CARES Act money is being used, and so again that's also something else that has been put on the newspaper's plate in terms of more coverage to watch out for.
Okay. Now, looking on the field from your vantage point, maybe thinking about Native American journalism and tribal news kind of more generally. How is the pandemic changing the industry from your perspective? If you don't know much beyond your area, that's okay, but I was just going to ask you kind of from your vantage point, what do you see as changing? And maybe what are some innovations that are happening kind of on the positive side as part of that?
Well, over here there is definitely there's like more of an attitude to remain extra vigilant or extra observant for with regard to what the tribal government does, because there were so many moving parts and moving events that were and still are taking place as a result of COVID-19. And so I would say it's definitely reinforced the attitude that journalists must be vigilant and observant in what the government is doing around them, because those decisions, you know, are going to impact the readership and other people that are in the community. And I would say that same attitude and innovation has definitely spread with other tribal outlets too. During all this, I've kept up on social media and other journalism outlets, including Indian Country Today and Indians.com, which cover tribal issues on the national front. And so that I would say that is something that I've definitely picked up on more, is that it reinforces the attitude that local news coverage, specifically tribal news coverage, is just as important as covering what takes place at the state and federal government level, because those entities are making decisions that impact the local community.
Yeah, that's a really important realization that many people, I think, are having, is that the local news knows you best, and it's the most valuable news in times of crisis, because you really can't undersell, you know, the power of knowing people in your neighborhood and in your county and in your tribe. I mean, I think that's such a critical thing. And have you seen that with your readers? Have they responded to that there, or is it more kind of business as usual, or what's the attitude, have you noticed, from your readership, if anything's changed at all?
I would say on several of the emails that we get that are sent to all of the staff, whenever we get readers through emails through the general email chain, we have seen a slight increase in thank you letters from people, you know, thanking us for providing the news coverage that we do and what we do in our jobs as journalists. And so that's always comforting and humbling to hear from other readers, knowing that people are reading, people are paying attention to the news, and they are contacting us to change their address or update their address to say, you know, yes, I still want to receive the newspaper. And yeah, every now and then we will get a letter to the editor where someone will complain about coverage, or say they read a column that was written by one of our columnists. We also have a part-time columnist that works for us on contract, and every now and then we'll get a letter from someone who says, oh, I didn't agree with what so and so wrote, and so it happens. You know, it's journalism. We're not going to make everyone happy. There will be that one person sometimes, and so. So anyways, yeah, with the increase in more messages that we receive electronically and through social media, you know, I have noticed that, you know, we more compliments, more gratitude is expressed from readers saying thank you, you know, thank you for what you do, and so I appreciate that in return.
That's great. No, I'm always happy to hear that about people who are working so hard in such a critical area to get some of that positivity, because they've definitely earned that. They definitely earned that. You've earned that for sure, in my opinion. What has been the biggest challenge for you, or maybe some challenges for you, professionally speaking, during the pandemic, kind of as part of your own growth as a journalist?
Well, I would say it was in the middle of working through all of this. I would say I'm human just like everyone else, and there was an increase in stress in the middle of all this. Because, you know, considering we have never lived in this time before, where the public health issue is an extreme concern. There were several attitudes expressed about that during the March session of the Osage Congress. There was even at least one Congress member who hinted that he was watching the numbers, and he didn't know if the Congress was going to be able to finish their 24-day session because of the increase in numbers at that time. So there was a big sentiment of fear, and of course that's going to spur anxiety and stress and whatever else in everyone, and of course that carries over to me as a person, in addition to observing it as a journalist, because of course I have to remember that I need to continue to be observant, continue to seek out the facts in order to do my job in writing a story and providing that to the readers. And so there was an increase in juggling those two items, being an everyday citizen and also being a journalist. So I experienced that many times off and on during those spring months of the pandemic, when everything was closed, because I was in the same boat as everyone else. I didn't know what was going to happen next. Are the numbers going to keep going up? What's next? What else is going to shut down? And are we still going to be able to do our jobs? Because I worked in the office, and while the other two were at home, so we maintained minimal presence to do our jobs, and so it was stressful. The one thing that did, of course, give kind of a little assurance is that in the middle of all this, we were authorized to lock our doors and work behind closed doors, and so that was something definite. We definitely did. We kept the door locked, and to this day, we still do. We only open the door to people that have specific business with the paper, or they call ahead of time and say, oh, I'm going to be in town, and I want to come in, and I want to discuss a story idea, or I want to drop off a picture for an announcement I want to make. And so that does happen, but of course we have the door lock rule in place because we're still in the pandemic.
Yeah, that makes sense. And do you think you'll keep that kind of thing going after you're done, or we kind of go back to having more of an open door policy, or how will things change when things get better?
I would say that will definitely be a decision among our three-member editorial board and the editor. They are the ones that meet and make the decisions on the policies and procedures with regard to the newspaper operations, the editorial policy in which we work under, and any other housekeeping rules. And so that would be something they would have to revisit later on, considering, whenever we reach the point that maybe a cure or a vaccine is is available. So for the time being, I foresee us keeping our door locked, especially considering there's a lot of tourist traffic in town, and so that was always a big concern whenever the tourist season started resuming here in downtown Pawhuska, which is, you know, there's going to be people walking up and down the street, and what if somebody comes in and they don't know they're carrying it, and all of a sudden we have exposure, you know, what then? And so mm-hmm. I think a lot of those what if discussions that took place with management is what led to the rule that we should probably be working behind locked doors.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, just considering all the uncertainty right now. What changes do you think? Well, what changes do you personally want to have undone or kind of end when things get better? Is there anything you kind of want to go back to normal about with the way you do your job?
Yeah, it would really be nice to see more of the cultural and feature type events that we usually cover, because as a result of the pandemic, much of those have been canceled or postponed.
Yeah.
In the Osage Nation, they host three weekends of ceremonial dances each June, and so we usually go to those, and we cover them as part of photo duty wherever allowed, and so we take photos, and those make for great, you know, featurey type photos.
Yeah.
And then after that, in the summer months, there's usually powwows and other events and other dinner occasions that we may cover depending on what the news topic is. And as a result of the pandemic, all of those, you know, have suddenly canceled, and so now it's pretty much, you know, go to the office and cover everything virtually as possible, or contact someone on the phone and then cover it. So yeah, in a way, it would be nice to go back to those times, you know, when people are more social and we could visit more with other people, because it's been several months since I've seen people that I usually see on a regular basis. It's been months since I've seen some people. So, and that's also another surreal observation I've made during this time, is that it's really put us in a surreal situation where we're having to, you know, literally, physically, and socially distance.
Yeah, it's hard in Louisiana because we're such a personal culture here, and I suspect a lot of my colleagues and friends here have had a hard time because it's not normal to be to be as isolated from each other as we are right now. It's a difficult cultural thing for us here, so I can imagine.
Oh, right.
It might be similar in other close-knit communities, and where you're used to seeing your friends and family, you know, fairly often, maybe every day even, to not see them for weeks or months. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Same over here too. We are in Osage County. It's the largest county in Oklahoma, but it is full of several small towns under 4,000 people, much of them are very small, and so I can just imagine it's surreal for so many people to all of a sudden, you know, not be able to live their lives, you know, like they usually do in terms of going out, seeing people, and, you know, having those same social situations.
All right, so that brings us to our concluding set of questions here. The first one, the last three questions, is how has the pandemic influenced your views of journalism in society?
I would say it's the pandemic hasn't really swayed me one way or another of whether or not journalism isn't necessary, and I would say it's it's increased my appreciation for it and my role in working in it, because we, you know, we are in the information business. We follow the Society of Professional Journalists ethics and whatever other code of ethics we have in our own community, and so we are under an obligation to report the facts and events that are our readers and viewers and other information consumers, you know, they have the right to know. And so I would say it's definitely more crucial now, especially with this pandemic. And so should the time come anytime soon, especially with the word of a vaccine or a cure, I would say it is even more crucial to appreciate the facts and events that you get from journalists on what happens next, and what are the next steps with regard to this, you know, this pandemic, you know, as far as the, you know, the ending or whatever type of conclusion may come from COVID-19. So I would say, it reinforces the attitude that journalism is still crucial in this day and age.
And what do you want readers to know about journalism then? That same thing or something different kind of coming out of this?
I would definitely want readers to walk away from this time with a renewed understanding that journalism is crucial despite all the political arguments and debates that have been occurring in the past several months about whether or not the CDC guidelines are real or not, whether or not wearing a mask helps or not. In the end, the journalists are doing their job and providing information that the readers and the viewers and the consumers can either take or reject. And I would just hope that the consumers know that journalists are just doing their job to provide for the benefit of the public, whether or not they agree or not.
Well said. And that's a great segue to the last question here. What would you want journalists 100 years from now to know about this time, people who might be covering a new pandemic or just looking back on this era?
I would, could you re-ask the question again? I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good. What would you want journalists 100 years from now to know about you or about how to cover a pandemic or about what's important?
I would just hope that, I would just hope that journalists continue to do their due diligence in 100 years and realize that 2020 and possibly 2021 and possibly 2022 are full of infinite amounts of newsmakers, especially with regard to the COVID. There were so many issues, topics, and events that occurred, and I would just hope that journalists continue to do their due diligence and know that they are not going to complete research of this particular moment in time in a short period of time. Like, say, for example, try to read as many articles and to find out what happened in 2020, I would argue they are not going to find all of that out in a day or two in order to write a term paper. And so that is why I would say again, I would hope, you know, they realize you need to do your due diligence in order to come to some type of understanding, some type of argument, some type of focus if you are going to be reporting or researching the time of COVID-19, because that is what I am walking away from 2020 so far, which is that there has been so much happening, and we're in September and we're going into October, and it's not done yet.
Mm. So true. And again, well said. No, that's a great place to stop. Thank you again, Benny.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your time, and...